I'm going to the book of Acts, chapter 8. You want to join me? So here's an interesting story. Now, I'm going to start out with a question. You're not going to be able to figure out what the answer is, but I'll tell you eventually. The question is, this angel goes to Philip, and the question is, why did the angel go to Philip and not me? It's going to be hard for you to figure out. Let's just read this verse. Verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's where the quotation ends. Then this little additional note here says, this is a desert place. The reason that the angel spoke to Philip and not me is because I'm one of these detailed guys. If the angel said that to me, I'd have said, for what? I think that's a reasonable question. If you're going to go that far south, you might want to know what you're going for, you know? And I might have said, you know, that's like over 50 miles from here. Of course, the angel would know. Well, who's going to finance this trip I'm taking? Can I at least call a camel or something? He's expecting us to go on him on foot for that much. You know, that'd take 2 or 3 days to get there. And this angel doesn't give him any details. Just rise and go to that. What's the address? Is it like 613 Desert Road? I mean, there's no hint as to exactly where. Just go to this place. Some people are detailed Christians. Some people are hesitation Christians. Well, I'm going to have to pray about that. Some people are send somebody else Christians. Maybe you should sense it. That's what Moses was. Some people are go the wrong direction Christians. That was Jonah. Since his episode, not a lot of people are trying that. And some people are, I'm going to have to ask my wife about this. It almost sounds noble, but guys, it's not. Because then you come back and say, well, I got some stuff I got to do next weekend, so I won't be able to throw life under bus. That doesn't work. But all of these things is not how this wonderful guy, Philip, responded. I think what happened is the angel spoke to him and he steps out of the room and his wife met him right there and said, you've been talking to an angel, haven't you? He definitely, yeah. Well, I got an extra coat packed up for you in case it's cold at night. I got a bag here, for a lunch of sandwiches, and God will provide the rest. I got a canteen here you can drink out of. What are you waiting for? That's how my wife would be. She's that kind of a Christian. She's just on the ball. And I think that's how Philip's wife was, because it says in the Bible that he and his wife had 4 daughters who were unmarried, and they were prophets. Philip's saying, all right, girls, if you're going to grow up in my house, you're going to be serving the Lord. And that's the kind of guy he was. Here's the first point I want to make. Details do not belong to me. They are not my business. Details are not my business. Details belong to God. You know, I have one business. Obedience. That's it. It's good that there's only one. I can remember that many. Just obedience. And here's what it says. Verse 27 about Philip. And he rose and went. That's it. He didn't ask. He rose and went. And that's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be a rose and went Christian. And when you preach sermons, you can make up new words if you want to. It's true. And so here's my new word for you. Rose and went. Say it with me. Rose and went. That's the kind of Christians we want to be. And you might say, Mark, it's not in the dictionary. It'll be pretty soon, I'm sure. But you can remember that, can't you? Rose and went Christians. That's what Philip was. That's why the angel went to him and not to me. Philip was a rose and went Christian. Now, there's 2 worlds that are just about to come in contact with each other. It's the most amazing thing. It's in the rest of that verse 27. And there was an Ethiopian. The detail on that is that he was from Ethiopia. a eunuch. We'll talk about that detail later. A court official of Candace. Have you ever wondered why it was such that the queen's first name was given, but the Ethiopian's first name we don't even know? Must not have been important. Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasury, and he had come to Jerusalem, there's an interesting tidbit of detail, to worship. You got to like this guy. And he was returning, seated in his chair, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, there's a detail. Let's start out with this one. My detail mind wants to know, how far is it from Ethiopia to Jerusalem? And Mr. Google says it's 1,598 miles. That's a long ways. And I'm a detail guy. I mean, about a month ago, Andy asked me if I'd preach this Sunday. I said, for what? I said, don't you know I drive 11 miles in a comfortable car just to get here in the morning? I didn't actually say that. I may be bad. I'm not quite that bad. But this guy traveled 1,598 miles to get to Jerusalem to worship. But wait a minute. He's a Gentile. Ethiopia, right? He's a Gentile. He can't worship in the temple. And he's a eunuch. Law of Moses says that they can't worship in the temple either. He's both. He travels 1,500 miles, and he was traveling in a chariot. So what do I want to know? I'd like to know, how long does it take for a chariot to get from Ethiopia to Jerusalem? And it's just about a month. Really? You can't drive them horses more than about a day. They got to be recharged again. It's a long process. A month he was on the road to get to Jerusalem to worship. That's not all. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. How did a Gentile eunuch from Ethiopia get a scroll of Isaiah? Have you ever asked that question? Google doesn't know the answer to that, I'll tell you. I can try to figure it out. So he was a worshiper of God, which probably means that the queen was a worshiper of God. And it also means that Mr. Ethiopian would not go to the queen and say, hey, candy baby, I'm going to go to Jerusalem to worship, because he's under her authority. See in 2 months. That didn't happen. But probably she was also a worshiper of God and says to her servant, I want to send you to Jerusalem. He probably said, for what? You know that's 1,598 miles? He probably didn't say that. She probably sent him with some money. He traveled a month in the chariot, 1,598 miles to Jerusalem, worshipped, and then sought out some scribes and a Pharisee or two to try to purchase a scroll of Isaiah. I don't know how that all worked out. I'd like to know the details. It doesn't matter. But he got one. He probably said, I was going to, you know, the Jews would not touch him because he was unclean, you know. They probably said, well, it's going to be this price. You can't afford it. So he pulls out the gold, and they said, oh, get him a scroll. And so he's gotten a scroll. But about 2 or 3 days earlier, an angel went to Philip, who is a Rosenwant Christian, and says, go down to the desert road. Didn't give him an address. He gets up and leaves. He rose and went. And now the Ethiopian eunuch has a scroll. Next morning, he feeds a horse the water, and they're in the car, and they're leaving Jerusalem. From Jerusalem on the desert road to the outskirts of Egypt, it's 90 miles. So you've got Philip getting to the road, and he doesn't have a global positioning app on his iPhone. He's just, here's the road. And you have this Ethiopian who's left town with the scroll, and he starts reading it. It's not the one chapter per day in the Apple iPad app. He's reading Isaiah in Hebrew. He knew how to read Hebrew. In the scroll in the chariot, and he's reading through that, devouring that information. And here comes Philip. And he looks to his right, which is southwest, nothing. He looks to his left, which is northeast, nothing. And so maybe he sees a little mound over here with a stone on top. He climbs up the mound and gets on the stone. As far as he can see, there's a speck way in the distance. And he's watching that speck. Sure enough, there's somebody coming this way. Oh, horses. Oh, it looks like a chariot. You got to love Philip. I love Philip. Philip sees this thing coming together. Here's my next point. God's purpose has no boundaries. God's purpose doesn't have any continental boundaries, no cultural boundaries, no time boundaries, no limitations. There is nothing that limits God's purpose. Not even distance. And this guy is coming this way in a chariot reading Isaiah. And here comes the Holy Spirit. It's in verse 29. The Holy Spirit says this. The Spirit said to Philip, this is all he says. Go over and join the chariot. Boom. That's it. He didn't give him any other details. He didn't say, now this is what I want you to say. He didn't say, this is this guy's first name. I want you to know him and he's coming your way. No. He says, go join that chariot. Here's the interesting point. God always gives us exactly what we need at the exact right moment. He doesn't need to give us anything more. He never gives us anything less. He always gives us what we need, exactly what we need, at the exact right moment. God is always faithful. And Philip didn't need any more information than that. God always gives us. My good friend, Dan Johnson, always says, God is never late. And he's hardly ever early. And God is faithful. And just what Philip needed, God gave him. And so he jumps off the rock down the slope. I'm pretending that really happened. And he's running because it says that that Philip ran to the chariot. That may be why he asked Philip, not me. He ran to the chariot and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked this question, he's jogging along and said, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian, it says, and he said, how can I unless somebody guides me? You know what had happened? He was leaving town, reading the scroll, and he got to one of those mile markers. I don't know which one it was. And he got confused in the prophet Isaiah, and he wondered what that was about. And all of a sudden, there's this voice. He looks up, and some guy's jogging beside the chariot. He never met him before. Says, you understand what you're reading? Well, lo and behold, no. But God always provides exactly what we need at the exact right moment. And just at that moment, that Ethiopian eunuch needed somebody to explain the scripture to him. And God provided at the exact right place, exact right time, exactly what he needed. So he invites Philip up into the chariot. This is going to freak you out what happens next. This is verse 32. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before his shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. Are you kidding me? He's on chapter 53. Of Isaiah. He started out at the beginning, Jerusalem, not just a chapter. He didn't have numbers in that scroll at that time. But that's chapter 53 for us. And he gets to that point about Jesus. And he doesn't know who he's talking about. And what he needs at the moment is somebody to explain it. And he looks up and there's a guy jogging beside his chariot. So the eunuch says to Philip, he says, about whom I ask, does the prophet say this, about himself or about somebody else? You know, when God brings somebody into your realm or into your presence or into your knowledge that you're supposed to address, he'll always have that person on chapter 53. You can count on it. And so here's what he says. Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He's speaking Jesus in the chariot. And he goes through Jesus and, you know, of course, the death and the burial and the resurrection and the ascension on high. And then the day of Pentecost, repent, be baptized, everyone of you, just about the time they come to one single river that crosses that 90-mile road. One river. God always provides exactly what you need at the exact right time. One river. It's about 50 miles from Jerusalem to that river. And there they are, and the eunuch looks up and says, look, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch. It means they went down into it. It doesn't mean he sprinkled some water on his head. They went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him into Jesus Christ. Philip left at the exact right time. The eunuch left at the exact right time, got to Jerusalem at the exact right time, got the scroll and headed home at the exact right time, got into the chariot at the right time, and got to the river at the exact right time, down into the water, and Philip baptized him into Christ. And it says, when they came up out of the water, this is verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. Now, I appreciate the ESV, and they're saying it very nicely. The Spirit carried Philip away. It almost looks like the eunuch is saying, oh, look, Philip's being carried away. That's cool. But that's not exactly what the Greek says. The Greek word is snatch. And the NASB translates it as such in that version. He was snatched out. He baptized the eunuch, brought him up out of the water, and the eunuch was rejoicing, and just at that time, kaboom! Philip's gone. Vanishes into thin air. And the eunuch says, where'd he go? He probably asked the driver, do you see that? And the driver said, yes! He vanished. That is the confirmation of the Holy Spirit on the word that Philip preached to him, proving that that word is from God with a supernatural sign. And probably the driver of the chariot said, can you baptize me? Really? Right? What would you do if you were the chariot driver? I believe that Philip baptized his first person right there in that water. And the two of them got in the chariot, and they were going as fast as they could. Still took them about a month to get home to Candace. Can you imagine what's happening in Ethiopia? Finally, they arrive back. It's been 2 months, and Candace has been waiting. And they get in there, and they said, we got a story to tell. She said, did you get the scroll? Yeah, but listen to this. And he tells me, read it. I got this place about, you know, the slaughter and all that stuff, and I couldn't figure out, and looked up, and here's this guy jogging beside the chariot. She goes, really? Out in the desert? Yeah, only blood. I don't know where he came from. I'm kind of making up the details a little bit, because I'm a detail guy. And they tell her that he talked to him about Jesus, and looked up, and here's a river. We came to the river. And we went down in the river, and he baptized me into Christ Jesus right then and there. And you're not going to believe it, Candace. Think they're on a first name basis? No? Queen? Your Honor? No, that's different. That's a court. Guess what? He vanished into thin air. Probably Queen has said, he's been riding behind a horse too long. And the other guy probably said, oh no, I saw it with my own eyes. He vanished. He was gone. Never saw him again. Really? You know what I think Candace asked? I think she asked, can you baptize me? I don't know all the conversations, but history tells us something. That by the end of the first century, Ethiopia was known as a Christian country. God's purpose is far beyond our wildest imaginations. It has no continental or cultural boundaries. No time constraints or concerns. God is always providing exactly what we need at the exact right minute. And it says then that Philip found himself at Azotus. That's funny to me. Comical, I should say. Because Philip one time is baptizing an Ethiopian in the desert stream, comes up, and then the next thing goes, whoo, he's in a town. There's the town square. There's a couple guys sitting there. They say, whoa, where did you come from? And why are you all wet? And Philip said, well, I was just baptizing an Ethiopian in the stream down there that crosses the Gaza Road. They said, for what? They probably said, that's 30 miles from here. Philip would have said, I know. Do you know Jesus? It says, listen, it says, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. He was a Rosenwent Christians. That's what we ought to be. That's what I want to be, is a Rosenwent Christians. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's another point. I am here today because of God's detailed plans for me. I am here today because of God's detailed plans for me. And if you write that, you put the word me in there, refers to you. You're here today. Oh, I know. It's Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for coming all this way to visit with us and be in church with us. But you're not here because of that. You are here because of God's detailed plans and purpose in your life. And I know the rest of you, you come here every Sunday. I know. Every Sunday, you're faithful members of the Kalkaska Church of Christ. And that's good. But you're here today because of God's precise purpose and plan for your life. Nothing happens accidentally or by coincidence. God doesn't use coincidence. He's got a purpose. And that's why you're here. And you're here for God's purpose. Now, there are two kinds of people here. I keep it to two so I can remember both of them. Here's the first one. The first kind of person that's here today is somebody that can say, hey, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? If you haven't been baptized yet, you can know that you're here because God has brought you all of the distance, however it was, great or small, at the exact right time to the exact right place with everything that's needed for exactly what you need at the exact right time. That's one. And if you're here today, we're going to sing another song in a little bit. And I'm going to be down here by the cross. I'll wait, and there'll be an elder and his family there. We can receive you there at the cross, talk about what we need to do. The second kind of a person that's here today are those of us who have already encountered God in the desert stream, and we've already been baptized into Jesus Christ. And some of us are kind of like hesitation Christians. Some of us are ask somebody else Christians. Some of us are, I don't want to do that, Christians. Some of us are, that's for those guys we pay. They're supposed to do that kind of stuff, Christians. But we're changing today, aren't we? We are committing ourselves to be Rosenwent Christians. Because God is going to start to use us because we're that way. He's going to start using us because there's somebody here today that God brought you here for because you need to shake their hand maybe. And speak to them with love and thanks for being here and find out what they're doing in their lives. It may be because you're here and when you leave here, you're going to sit down at a restaurant and somebody's going to walk up to that table and say, can I take your order? And that may be someone who God has brought to chapter 53 for you at that time, at that purpose. And we ought to be living our lives thinking that everything that happens is something God has brought us to for that very moment and purpose. We may be the one jogging along beside the chair saying, you know what you're reading? God does that through us all the time. The next customer that walks into your store, the next client that walks into your business, the next student that walks into your classroom may be the one God has brought to chapter 53. And he put you there at that crossroads, at that time, at that moment for that purpose. And being a Rosenwent Christians, all we have to do is God is going to give us what we need in the moment. And somebody is going to hear about Jesus. We're all here for the same purpose. God's purpose. We all have one single responsibility. It's called obedience. And we're all committing ourselves to be Rosenwent Christians. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray together with you. The folks are going to come and sing one last song. I'm going to be down here waiting if you want to make a change in your life or a commitment. But I want to offer you one word of caution just before we do that. To look back at the details of the past and see God's hand working and praise God for that is called praise. To look into the future and fret about details that we don't know about yet is called sin. But when we're Rosenwent Christians, we leave the details to God and we offer ourselves obediently for every moment that comes and every person that crosses our path to speak Jesus with them. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us to this place at this moment in time with these people whom you have brought to cross our pathway and the people that we're going to meet really soon after this as well and tomorrow and the next day. Because everything happens through those days according to your divine plan and purpose, and those people are brought to cross our pathways so that we can ask them, do you really understand what you're reading? Because you've already brought them to chapter 53. They have been prepared by you to hear Jesus from our lips. We don't have to worry about what we're going to say in the future about that. That would be sin. We just want to be ready for the opportunity. And when we open our mouths, we don't have to think about, let's see, what is it? Because Jesus promised he'd give us words to say in the moment. And you, Lord God, always give us exactly what we need at the exact right time. Your purposes never fail. And we know here that if you could take a few Rosenwent Christians, you could change the homes in this community. You could change this community. You could change this county. You could change this state. You could transform this world if we would just obey. You have a great plan. We're glad to be part of it. We love you for it, and we commit ourselves to it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.